haciendo que es amarte. Ay, nos vemos este martes. Mi amor, llega hasta Marte.
Everybody, welcome to another episode of Lem. Me? No, I'm your host, Angel Lem. Today is the big day. Today's episode is number 50. I promised you guys that I was going to do this, and I'm here to deliver the promise that I made. So today's episode is the Solo Bolo episode. Basically, is about myself. I'm interviewing myself. Hopefully, you guys enjoy this episode. There's really nothing to promote this week. If you like what you hear and you like me and what I'm saying or whatever, just please go add me on iTunes. I'm on SoundCloud, iTunes, Spotify. I'm everywhere pretty much, or the biggest platforms right now. And you know, I couldn't do it without you guys. So first of all, thank you. And if you're a new listener, hopefully you like what you hear. And if you're not a new listener, thank you for if you send questions in, thank you for sending questions in. And if you want to make this like a thing where I do one episode of you guys sending me questions, keep sending them. I guess that's the only way that's gonna happen. I would love to do an episode by myself every week, answering questions, whatever. It really doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be about me. It could be about anything that's going on in the world. So you're gonna hear me interview myself, like I said. I don't know how this episode's gonna turn out. So if it doesn't turn out well, at least I tried, right? So yeah, so like I mentioned, I'm on iTunes. Add me, subscribe wherever you listen to this podcast. If you're a new listener, wherever you're listening to, subscribe. Add me on Instagram, Facebook. If you want to be a part of the podcast, just by supporting it, I have stickers. So all you gotta do is send me your address wherever you want me to send it to, and they're completely free. So send me the address and I'll send it your way. I still feel kind of silly, but you know what, I'm gonna do what I gotta do. And thank you guys for your support. Thank you for everything you do, and here's to another 50, right?
Keep moving forward. I'm so reborn. I'm moving forward. Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Ain't no stress on me, Lord. I'm moving forward. Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. I had my issues. just with me. Had so much on my mind, I didn't know where to go. Come a long way from the heart to me. Had me feeling all so low. Ain't no stopping you, no way. All things ain't like before. Ain't no stopping you, no way. No stress, yes, I'm so blessed. And I'm so reborn. I'm moving forward. Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Ain't no stress on me, Lord. I'm moving forward. Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. I'm so reborn. I'm moving forward. Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward. Ain't no stress on me, Lord. I'm moving forward. Keep moving forward. Keep moving forward.
Guys, did you guys enjoy that song? That happens to be one of the songs that I'm into this week. I kind of want to do like a playlist for you guys. I do have a playlist on Spotify of just the music that I listen to at work. And so yeah, so without any further ado, you know, I'm sitting with a very special guest, somebody that I've known for years, and you know, like, I'm happy to finally interview this guy. You know, I know some of you are thinking, like, why the hell are you doing that episode 50, right? These episodes are usually done in the beginning, like the pilot episodes. They're the ones that help you get to know the host and what the podcast is about. But this is answering one of your questions, actually. So I started this podcast because I had a previous one, which was called Dick in the Box. That was done with one of my friends, Jose, or Data Crux. I interviewed him a couple episodes, so make sure you listen to that episode. So I had a podcast with them. That's how I started this journey, and unfortunately we had to split ways because he wanted to focus more on his music, which is understandable, but I still want to continue doing what I was doing. So originally the podcast was supposed to be me and him. I was supposed to be the dick. So hence the name Dick in the Box. So I was a dick. The box is wherever you're listening to me in, and I was supposed to be a dick to the guests, right? But I couldn't, you know. I was really thankful for them giving me a shot, you know. And I learned something about myself. Like, I can't be that guy. I can't even pretend to be that guy, that the jerk. So I mean, it wasn't what I envisioned or what he envisioned. So like I mentioned, he went his way. He's successful. Make sure you listen to this episode. He's doing his thing with this music. I'm proud of him. Hopefully he's proud of me with the podcast, and then I continue doing the podcast because I don't know, I felt like this is what I needed to do. So I'm here 50 episodes in, and I still enjoy everything. I'm enjoying it. here is my I'm interviewing Angel. And can you tell me something about you, Angel? Yeah, for sure. So my name is Angel. Angel Jesus Lamb. My podcast is Let Me Know Pod. Hence the name Lamb is because of my last name. So it's a pretty much a play on word on Lamb. And everybody like you says Let Me Know instead of Let Me Know. I mean, at least where I live or where I was raised, say Let Me Know or Let Me Know Where You Go. So I kind of thought, you know what, well, that's a cute word. That's a play on word. I could use my last name. Kind of clever. And then when it comes to copywriting and all that stuff, it's my last name. So I got to use my last name, right? What made you want to get into the podcasting world? So I got into the podcast world because, I don't know, it's interesting to me. I like entertaining people. I do comedy on the side. And I thought, you know, why not promote myself and then help others on the way? You know, that's how this podcast started. I heard about podcasting through this podcast that I listen to all the time, which is called Comedy Bang Bang. And, you know, I was going through some hard times. I was going through a breakup and, you know, nothing could get me out of it. Like no music, nothing. Music, TV, nothing. I was super depressed. I was in the point of suicide. But I couldn't laugh. I couldn't watch stand-up, and I love stand-up. So I stumbled upon this podcast, you know, called Comedy Bang Bang. You know, I was able to laugh again. It got me out the funk. It helped me get out of where I was, where I was always thinking about it. It was going through my head. I was having night terrors where I was dreaming. I was seeing her cheat on me, and I couldn't wake up. I had to live the whole moment over and over and over every time I fell asleep. So I started drinking heavily, and I started smoking heavily. And I went from not drinking to drinking, like, a lot, you know. And to not smoking to smoking three times a day. So, I mean, to some people that's nothing, you know, but to me, from zero smoking to like having to smoke every right before I fell asleep every time, because I didn't want to dream, and when I dreamt I didn't want to see anything. So the weed was for dreaming, the drinking was so I could black out. So, you know, that's right there, that's very, very bad for my health. So, you know, I got into this podcast. It helped me think. I don't know. Like, that was whenever I would listen to podcasts, that was the only time that I would think clearly. And that it would actually, like, it wouldn't help me think clearly. I just wouldn't be thinking. I would just be enjoying it. I would be living in the moment. And it was a good break for me. Like, not to keep thinking about what was going on. So, I got into the podcast world because I wanted to do that for somebody. You know, in whatever way, bring you a new artist, but whatever topic whatever the topic is on that interview, I bring some guests that go through health problems, that have gone through depression or anything, you know, and I bring them in to tell their story and for you guys to see how they got out. So hopefully their story inspires you to do something or to get out of the funk that you're in. So that's pretty much my goal. I don't know if I've been successful at it. I've tried hitting some important issues, but at the same time, it's hard for me to balance comedy and information and still hit the topics and be myself, because I'm not a really serious person. I like to have fun. I'm very sarcastic, very playful. So I like to bring that on the podcast. So hopefully my listeners, they get to enjoy it too, and they can see a sense of who I am, and hopefully they'll stick by me. And at the same time, I want to bring out the best qualities in my guests, because I feel they're very talented. That's why I bring them on, and I feel they have a story to tell, and everybody has a different story. If I'm able to do it, that's not up to me, that's up to my listeners. Hopefully I'm doing it, because I would think that this would be a waste of time for both of us, for my guests, for myself, where I'm not accomplishing what I want to do. Right on. So can you tell me a little bit about your childhood? Yeah, so I was born in Long Beach, but I was actually raised in TJ, and I came back when I was 9 years old. I didn't know English for a while. I thought that people here only spoke English, and especially when my first day of school, I still remember it vividly. It was my first day. My English teacher was this white man, big, tall, with the mustache. He asked me, "What's your name?" And I was like almost crying, to the point I was like, ashamed in a way that I didn't know English because I was born here. So I was like, in Spanish, like, no sé lo que estás diciendo, no hablo español. And then he comes out, this white man comes out, oh, no te preocupes, aquí todos hablamos español. And that, to me, I just felt a sense of relief right there at that point. Like, oh shit, like, I'm accepted. Oh, at least I'm gonna be able to do this. And, you know, like, to me, like, that's something that I do want to do. Like, I wanted to go into teaching. I wanted to teach just for that sole reason, because I wanted to work with people that came from Mexico that were in the ESL program. And I kind of, what I noticed through my whole high school and middle school, that the people that would have trouble, like, passing or staying in school would be those, the ones that hardly knew English, because you get it from both sides. Like, there's always the cool kids, you know, quote unquote cool kids, that make fun of you because you don't know the language. See, I still have trouble, you know, speaking English, all that. I don't speak it that well. And, like, I could only imagine, like, these people are coming from Mexico that are trying their hardest, that the only thing, like, they're smarter than you sometimes, they're hard workers, but the only thing that's keeping holding them back is that they don't know English, you know, or whatever. And I kind of wanted to, like, I want to go into teaching and help them, just so be an ally, you know, like, to show them, you know, I was there. I didn't know English. I came at a young age, you know, fourth grade, had to repeat it because I didn't know English. And I'm very thankful for that, because that year helped me learn that much more. I see people that I went to school with, and they didn't even get their high school. They didn't go through high school, or they went to high school and they had to repeat the grade because of, you know, for that reason, they don't know English that well, or for whatever, you know, everybody has their story. So I wanted to help them. I want to be there for them. So that was then. And then in Mexico, I lived a really, really privileged life where I had nothing missing, like zero. My mom had her own business. I was born here, so I could come whenever I wanted. Basically, I would come here every summer, but still, I didn't know English. But I would stay with my aunt and one of my cousins. Shout out to my cousin Marcos. He was like the one that I would always be with, you know. I didn't know my dad. I mean, I knew my dad, but I didn't know him that well. Whenever, like, so my mom would send me with my dad, and I would only see him the day I would arrive, and sometimes the day I would leave. And then in between, I don't ever remember hanging out with him. When I lived in Mexico, I only lived with my mom. My dad would come, get some money from my mom, you know, do that. And the only memories I have of him is when he would whip my ass because I misbehaved while he wasn't here. And other than that, I really don't have many memories of him. I was that kid that was forbidden, that you were forbidden to hang out with because I was such a bad influence on everybody. Sexually, I got introduced to sex very, very early. I was that kid that would take porn on first grade, you know, like, people, like I mentioned, like, people were ashamed. I wasn't allowed in a lot of people's homes for that reason, because I was such a bad influence, because I would do whatever I wanted. Like I mentioned a couple episodes, like, one thing that I used to do is break people's windows. Like, we would get rocks and just throw it at cars, body shops, and we would just break their windows just because, like, for no fucking reason. So, you know, I would hang out with kids way older than me, like 5-6 years older, so, and they would be talking about sex, and I was right there. I remember we were playing charades once, and I said, oh, you're getting excited, like, oh no, you're about to come. And I didn't know what I was saying. I heard it, my friend said it once, and I repeated it, and the mom, like, put me in the room by myself and told me I couldn't say that. And I was like, wait, I don't know what that means, you know. I was just trying to be a cool kid. So yeah, my mom, like I said, I was raised with her by her, so she didn't really have time to spend with me. I was on my own. I would sell food, I would sell candy, Tupperware. I would go from house to house and sell knives, Tupperware, those scissors that could cut through anything, supposedly. To the point where I almost got raped twice. No, once. I almost got raped once, and that was because of my love of Super Nintendo. So yeah, and almost got kidnapped twice. Once was at the grocery store because I thought I was a badass, and I would leave my mom, like, I would go get bread and I would eat it. And then once this guy tried catching me and I ran, you know, I just ran and I hid on those they used to have barrels. Now I hid him by right behind one in between a shelf, and I went inside the shelf and you couldn't see it. What I think is you couldn't see me because the bear was on the way. So that's how I got away the first time. And the second kidnapping, I don't really know. Apparently, my mom knows because she's the one that told me I got kidnapped twice. I remember one, but I don't remember the second one. So I was a really wild kid. And then I came here when I was 9. And it was a total culture shock. Like, I didn't know the language. I didn't know anybody. It was just me and my mom. For like a couple years, I didn't go out at all. Like, at all, at all. Basically, my dad would like forbid my mom and I to do shit. So we would have to stay home. And while he was out and about enjoying life, basically what he wanted to do is have me and my mom give up. And I think that, oh, it's too hard to live here. Like, let's go back to Mexico. But, you know, he wasn't counting my mom's resilience and that she would stick it out. So, you know, slowly but surely, I got, for the first, couple months, all we ate was hot dogs because he refused to get a fridge and a stove. And then we finally got a microwave, but the only thing you could do is just recook it. So we ate for 3 months. That's all we ate, hot dogs. I came thinking that I came on vacation, and then one day I just see my mom and my dad picking me up. It was like, all right, this is kind of weird. Like, my mom never would pick me up. It'd always be my dad, or I would leave with my grandma. And then I saw my mom, was like, all right, so we're going back. I was thinking that we're going back. And my mom was like, no, we're staying here. We got a place. It's like, all right. So we drive to the place, and it's where we currently live now. Well, where I just recently moved. So we were living there for 20 years. And yeah, like, I didn't have any clothing. So the only, like, the way I would get clothes is from people that my mom met, and like in school when she was going to adult school, they would give her clothes because for some reason we didn't have money for clothes, even though my dad had a good job. In elementary, I was that they would call me Chunti, or that kid that you make fun of because I only had two shirts and two shorts, and I had to alternate for 5 days. And eventually, the school that I was going to, they had a program for like low income families where they would provide clothes for them. So I would wear a uniform. When everybody would wear like the regular clothes, I would wear a uniform because that was the clothing that they would provide. So yeah, I mean, other than that, then I grew up. So yeah, but I mean, like, surely, like I said earlier, like, people would give me clothes. Like, the only time I would have like nice clothes was my birthday or Christmas, because that's the time my dad would actually try to buy me something, or when I would go like back to school sometimes, not all the time. But yeah, it seemed a little bit like you're having a hard time talking there, like expressing yourself. I mean, kind of, because I really don't know what I should say or what I shouldn't say. Because, I mean, I don't know what exactly your listeners want to know about me. All right, well, you know what? How about we jump into some listening questions? All right, let's do that. All right, well, the first question comes from the homies of Just Us. All right, well, first of all, I just want to thank Just Us, Jay, and the doctor. Thank you guys for, you know, sending in your questions. Thank you for using the voicemail. So if anybody, you know, on the future want to send questions and you're too lazy to write them, you could always send me a voicemail. All you gotta do is call 424-261-9005. 424-261-9005. So it's a voicemail. I'll never answer I will never answer your call. Try to make it no longer than a minute or two. That way, if I have more questions from other people, it won't take too much time. So how about we hear that? How about we hear their question?
Yo, Lem, what up?
Just Us.
The JU crew. Yo, thanks for all the love you show us, man. We appreciate it. Yo, it's time to interrogate you, though. We got some questions.
A couple questions.
So, are you still performing stand-up? Like, we want to know. We want to go see.
Where can we find the comedy?
Yeah, is it on YouTube? What's up, bro? Like, we want to see that shit. You're funny on your podcast, so we want to see your material.
I'm down.
Yeah. Another question.
What's your next step?
Yes.
Like, the podcast. What's up? Like, where's the next level? Next level up?
You know, our thing is always, like, constant elevation. We're always trying to get better, whether it's a personal goal amongst ourselves, or if it's getting to a certain follower count, or if it's getting somebody to look at our content. Whatever it is, we're always trying to be better. So we want to know what's the next step for you to elevate your podcast and your whole platform with that, because that's great. I want to know what the next step is. Are you going to start hiring people? If so,
your boy needs a job. Yeah, my boy, I need a job.
My boy Doc's like ready to do it. I'll volunteer.
I'll do it for free.
Yeah, I want to grow. I'm going to grow the podcast, bro. Let me run your social media. I got you. Yo, we got some more questions. We got more questions? Yeah,
I got one more. The last one. What do you do for a living? I mean, you always say you got this busy schedule going on. What are you doing in real life?
Yeah, to me it sounds like you're sleeping a lot. So that's like always you're like, oh, I'm about to go to sleep, or I just woke up. So I want to know, like, what are you doing, bro?
I
think so. Yo, let me know, podcast. You're doing a great job, bro. Yeah. Listening. We're all listening. It's just tight. We like it. That was just us. Skirt.
You could actually find my very, very first time I've ever performed. You can find it on YouTube. So I'll put up a link to it. But if you have my personal account, it's the link that's connected to my bio. Just click on the link, and I think I'm on like minute 15. I'm super green, so when you see it, please don't judge me. But I'm over here. I was trying my best. I do still have some of those jokes, but I scrapped most of the set. I only kept like two or three of those jokes. Hopefully you enjoy it. And I haven't performed since December. I haven't came up with any new stuff, but I am gonna perform soon. I don't know when. It's gonna probably be a mic at the library again. Honestly, I'm pretty tired performing there, to tell you the truth. So I've just been making a lot of excuses, but I will perform sometime in the summer, like in July and in August. I'll perform twice. So stay tuned. I'll announce it on the podcast. When I'll do it, I'll probably put a post on my Facebook. So if you don't have me on Facebook, make sure. I'll put it on Instagram. Yeah, Instagram and Facebook. So if you don't have me on Instagram or Facebook, make sure you add me if you want to find out when I'll be performing again. As far as the podcast goes, well, I mean, right now I'm trying to get Felipe Esparza. So if you guys could do me the favor and kind of like tell him that I'm over here, I would really, really appreciate it. I'm trying to get Felipe. I'm trying to get Martin Moreno and Hooter. I've sent a message. I've tagged them and stuff. But I can't get through. So if you guys could help me out. Now, I think I'm ready for big timing. You know, I want to include some people that are out there in the entertainment industry. Because I think that's the way, that's the next step, at least for right now. I think that's where I'm at right now. Next step is getting big people that already have like their name established, that are out there and they're performing and doing their thing. I'm not hiring, unfortunately, my bad. And the social media aspect, it gets tedious, I'm not gonna lie, but I mean, I'm doing my way so far. I've been successful, but I do appreciate it. And I also need a job myself. I'm trying to get out of the job that I'm at. I work at Fufulus. I'm in charge of the dairy department, and I've been doing that job for 10 years. So I go in at midnight, and I don't get out till 9:30 sometimes. So that's why I'm tired. It's not that I'm sleeping, I think I deserve to go to sleep if I'm away for that long. You know, I don't come home and go straight to sleep. I help my mom, take care of kids. I do the podcast, and on top of that, you know, I have to do chores around the house. Gotta do other things, and I usually don't go to sleep till like 8 or 9. That's why, like, the times you guys have been inviting me to places, you know, I do apologize. Is I work 6 days a week. I put in about 10 hours a day. A whole week, I put about 60 hours. So, you know, I think I'm justified. I mean, I think if I want to go to sleep, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, I am tired most of the time. I work out sometimes, twice a week. And, you know, I'm trying my best, but... You know, as far as the podcast goes, I want to go global. I think I don't want to be that guy from Wilmington. Like, I feel like I'm that's where I'm going towards, and I'm trying to go a different way. So, you guys can help me. I want to bring some big names. Doing the interview that I did with Justin over the phone, I figured out that, you know, I don't need the equipment to go through Skype and all that stuff. Like, I could just do it through my phone. I just get the phone, put it on the mic. It seemed like it worked for him. So I'm gonna try doing that. Hopefully that works. I want to do YouTube. I think that is the step right after this. But as you guys know, the excuse that I have, or the reason why I haven't done it, is because I edit way too much. So for example, I record an hour. I edit that down to like 45 minutes. Most of that cut down my rambling, because I do ramble on, and in between this, sometimes you hear like little gaps and stuff, is because I have to breathe. So during the intro, that's pretty much the hardest part. I don't write anything down. So maybe you guys can help me, give me some advice. What can I do to improve the podcast? I think it's pretty good, but you know, I don't think it's at where I want it to be yet. I just don't know what it's missing. So maybe you guys can help me with that. So yeah, I mean, the podcast, that's the future for it, is to go mainstream. I don't see many people going mainstream without, like, the people that are successful with their podcast is because they already had something established before that. So you have the Yo podcast. That's Martin Moreno. His son Martin was touring with Gabriel, known as Fluffy. Felipe Esparza, he's been doing comedy for 20 plus years. So as soon as he did his podcast, boom, he already had a platform. You got Joe Rogan. He was doing Fear Factor. He was doing comedy. He's doing other things. And as soon as he did his podcast, boom, he already had a following. The problem with me is I never have had a following, so I started from zero. I want to be that guy. You know, I think there's potential with this podcast that I can be that guy that started from nothing and then started a platform and picked it up and went mainstream. I don't see too many Latino, Hispanic, Latinx, whatever you want to call me. I don't see too many like mainstream. There's a platform, Porque Estereo Fest. I don't know if I'll get into it. I haven't been approached, so as far as I know, I'm not in it. So I'm doing my own thing. So far, I've been successful. I just hit 2,000 followers on Instagram, but not knocking it, not saying anything's bad with followers and stuff. But what I really care about is plays. So my goal is to, right now I'm at 1,000. I want to get 1,200. I'm not near to 1,200. I'm barely hitting 1,000. So maybe you guys could help me out and push the podcast and tell other people, post about it. I don't know, push it as much as you can. I'm giving out free stickers for a reason. That way, like, it's publicity for me. You get to have something free, and my podcast gets to be seen a little bit. Maybe somebody approaches you like, oh, they might listen to podcast, they want to know about this one. So hopefully you guys are able to put in that word for me to, you know, to help me get the podcast, you know, out there. But you know, if I want to have you guys on again, so let me know, let's set it up. I don't know, but first of all, I want you guys to have something big. I kind of want to get you when you guys release your second album, your EP. So make that happen, and we'll sit, all three of us will sit, I mean all four of us will sit down, and we'll make it happen, right? Well, you heard it, guys. Just come up. Well, I know it's easier said than done. I know you guys are working hard in the lab, so make sure you hit them up when you have a chance, when you come up with that second EP, or the album, man. Come up with that album. You know, you guys are hard workers, so I want to see you actually see it, honestly. I like you guys. Jay's always sliding into my DMs, you know, in a good way. He's always putting in a good word for me, supporting the podcast. So I really appreciate you guys. You know, I really do appreciate everything you guys do for the podcast. And, you know, I hopefully I'm not asking too much, but please keep doing it. You know, you guys are honestly one of the reasons why I keep doing this. Next question comes from like Gangni on Instagram. I think that she's going to be the last person I mentioned by handle, because we did receive some questions from other people on Instagram, but forgot to ask if they want to be mentioned. So I'm going to take the safe route, and I'm not going to say the name, but I'm going to give her name, because she's always been super supportive of the podcast. So why don't we hear her questions?
Okay, here it goes. So what was your house like in Mexico? And did you grow up with cousins? Have you gone back to visit, or are you thinking about going back to your hometown? Okay, second question. How is your Spanish? Did you retain it? Can you speak it fluently? And do you know any other languages? Which ones? All right. And what's so special about Wilmington? If you were to give someone a tour there, what would you show them? Or what makes it home to you? All right, fourth question. Have you traveled outside of California? And where? Or where would you like to travel to? So where would you go to, what states would you go to here in the US? Or if you had to pick a country, what other place would you go to? And why? What calls you to those places? All right, next question. Do you listen to What's Up Fool podcast? And would you ever interview Felipe? Do you think you would be able to vibe with him? I know he's a little weird. besides that, do you have any comedian you aspire to interview besides the, I think you talked about Patel from Never Not Funny podcast, but who else? All right, next question. I'm reading my notes. Oh yeah, how does it feel to live in a place like California where there's people of all places all around you? In elementary school all the way through high school, was it diverse or mainly Mexican Latinos? All right, next question. Do you have any nicknames that your friends, family, or whoever calls you by? Also, don't be shy about that one. I know I have some strange nicknames. Okay, last question. And this one's not about you, but I've always wondered if Cholo still exists, or just something like of a past era, or something exaggerated by movies. Like, do they drive around California like in lowriders, like in the movies, or do they walk around with like bandanas covering their eyes? I don't know. It almost seems comical, but it could be real. I don't know. That's all I'm asking you. I'm not from California. Okay. So that's all I had for questions, and thank you for answering them. Sorry I sound nervous, but yeah, thank you.
So like I mentioned earlier, my life in Mexico was great. Other than almost getting kidnapped and almost getting raped, everything was all good. I mean, we had money. I had really nothing ever missing. I only lived with my cousins a little short time. Closer to the time when we came over here is because my mom sold everything, her restaurant, the place we lived. So we moved in with my aunt for like a couple weeks. And then that's when I came here on vacation and we ended up living here. My hometown was, Tijuana, you know, the best. Come on, the tacos are bomb. Like, food's abundant. It was a little ghetto. So the transition between coming to California, to Wilmington, it was just an extension of TJ. That's how I viewed it. Especially Avalon. When we came in, Avalon was basically TJ. Like, the main street in TJ. That was basically it. Like, I really, like, it had some of the same stores. So I had some familiar things, and the people were super friendly. I still know the first day I came to the US, I know some people that I met that very first day that they saw me basically grow up. I think I could still speak Spanish pretty well. I spoke a little Spanish here and there. So you tell me, what do you think? When I go to TJ, they don't understand me, but when I'm here, they don't understand my English. So I'm in between. I used to know Japanese. I used to know how to count Japanese. But other than that, I know Spanish, English, and that's about it. And a little Tagalog. But other than that, I don't really know any other language. I think if I was to give a tour to somebody, I'd pretty much show them the Juanita's Menudo Factory. Honestly, like, fun fact, that's in Mexico, that's where my mom worked. She worked at a factory similar to that one, but the orteña, the chilies, you know, that red can that you guys buy that has vinegar, and yeah, my mom used to work there, but that was when she lived in Sinaloa. So my mom's from Sinaloa, my dad's from El DF. They met in Tijuana, and the story goes from there. So what makes Wilmington special is the people. The people are great. You do have you have people, you have African Americans, Mexicans, you have whites, you have Filipinos, you have Chinese, Korean, you have, there's a little bit of everything everywhere. I mean, mostly, it's mostly ruled by Mexicans. I mean, that I've seen, what I've seen, that's mostly, like, maybe I don't know everybody, you know, because I probably don't know everybody, but, you know, like, I think the people, like, they're amazing. Everybody's hardworking. You do have some, you know, some riffraff here and there, but other than that, like, the people is what makes the city great. And then especially now, like, I feel like our generation, we're trying to uplift the city a little bit more. Like, I'm doing the podcast, yeah, people like Just Us trying to put their name on the map. They have artists like Miss Yellow. You have, you know, people like doing things to pretty much promote the city, so when they're asked where you're from, we could say Wilmington, and we could put our city, because we're pretty much, we're proud of it. We've, all the opportunities that I've been given have been from the city, you know, either I took them myself or came from the port that's connected to the city. So I mean that's what I was showing the waterfront park. I was showing pretty much Juanita's Menudo, because who doesn't want to know where Juanita's, the menudo that pretty much we all eat on like Sundays, and whenever you guys eat menudo, comes from that factory. So I've been to outside the in the US, I've been to outside of California, I've been to Texas, Utah, New Mexico, Idaho, Nevada. But other than that, I really haven't. I mean, in California, I've gone as far as San Francisco. I'm trying to go to San Jose one day, maybe Oakland, but I don't know. Other than that, I haven't been outside the U.S. I would love to go to New York. That's the one place I do want to go to, but I don't know. I'm too like laid back. What I've heard is that you need to be constantly on the move, active. So I don't know if I'll fit in well over there, but you know, I wanna experience that. I would also love to go to Florida. I know the humidity, I get super hot super easily. I know it's super humid over there, but I don't know. I feel like if I go during the right time, it'll be a good experience for me. And outside the whole United States, my goal is to go to Europe. I want to go to France. I want to go to Spain, Italy. I want to travel those. So hopefully soon I'll get to do that. I don't know if I'll be able to do that this year, but hopefully I get to do that next year. You know, that's my goal, at least to take like a trip abroad. You know, do one of those traveling things where you stay in the city for like a day or two. That's one of my goals, at least. Just recently started listening to Felipe Esparza's What's Up Fool podcast. I've been doing it to study him, because he tells a lot of stories about himself, where he grew up, mentions Wilmington a lot. So I kind of want to study him to, like, just in case I do have the opportunity to talk to him or sit down with him, interview him, I want to be prepared, you know. And will we have a good, I don't know, the only time will tell, and the only way to find out is when we sit down. But I would love to have him on, you know. I just want to hear his stories. He has lived a crazy life. He's very open about it. So I mean, a lot of people mention that have good questions, so I mean, I think that's the time to pretty much find out, because he's a great storyteller, and I feel like that'd be like a test for me, at least. I want to test myself with he's a great interviewer himself, so hopefully that happens. And somebody that I would love to interview is Paul Tompkins. I think that's what you meant. Yeah, I would love to interview him, just like so I could tell him my story, how he changed his episode at Comedy Bang, how it changed my life, how it got me out of where I was. But like I mentioned, I don't want to tell him as a fan. I want to tell him as an equal, because I don't feel like he'll take it seriously, I guess, because it'll be like, oh, another fan telling me like that I helped him with something, because I'm sure he hears that a lot. But I want him to really hear it out, for him to understand, you know, and to actually care about me as a person, first of all. I don't want to seem like a random ass person, you know. But I would like, that's another person I would love to interview. So hopefully that all that happens. But the only way that's gonna happen, guys, is if you guys help me out. All right, And living in California is awesome. I don't know what else to say. I mean, honestly, aside from Mexico, in the U.S., this is the only place I've ever lived. When I went to Utah, I really liked Utah. I'm a cold weather person. So, but I do like my seasons. I mean, not that I like my seasons. I enjoy that. Hardly ever rains here. You know, especially, I mean, now it's pretty, I mean, it's crazy. The weather's crazy. But other than that, I mean, it's pretty amazing. And school has always been, like, pretty good as far as, like, cultures. I've had Samoans. I don't know, Eastern. I don't know what the right term. I'm sorry if I do offend anybody that's not Samoan. I call them Samoans. But, yeah, Hondurans, Salvadorians, Mexicans, Puerto Ricans. I think Cubans. Filipinos, any, like, I think, I mean, my high school was pretty much, a large part was Hispanics, and then second one was, I think, equally African Americans and Filipinos and Samoans, but it was the large pop, like, majority were, I think, Hispanics. And, you know, I mean, I don't know specifically what other cultures, because I don't really know what nationalities were represented, because I didn't really talk to everybody. But for the most part, like, all the schools that I've gone to have been pretty well, kind of balanced. You know, not too many Mexicans or Hispanics. We've had other cultures. It's not like we're, like, I don't know, outside states. Like, I'm assuming Utah, it's mostly Caucasians, you know, white people. Like, here, it's pretty well balanced. So, I mean, I was awesome. I learned a lot of bad words and a lot of different languages, that's always great, you know. Like, in case somebody curses at you, you already know that's a bad word, so you can go off on them or whatever. But yeah, I mean, it's good. Cali's good. You should come visit. I know you're not in Cali, but you're wondering a lot of questions. The only way you're gonna find out the real answer is if you come down and experience life here yourself. So come visit for like a month or two. I'm not gonna give you a room and board, because my girl hit me. Nah, she'll fucking kick my ass if I volunteer. But I'll definitely hang out with you one of those days. Hopefully we'll get some ice cream and we have a good time. As far as the lowrider and all that stuff, I'm sure there's places where that does exist. I don't really see it too often. The only time I really see is like during Halloween. But other than that, I mean, just a couple weeks ago we had the, like, a car show. So there was lowriders, or like when there's an art show, there's lowriders, or like lowrider clubs. So we do see those. We see like vintage cars, but like people with bandanas and looking like those, I don't know, like Blood In, Blood Out, or like with the bandana. Yeah, I don't know. No, not really. I mean, it's understandable to ask that question if you're not from here, like that stereotype. But like I said, at least where I live, I don't see that too often. Or it could also be because I don't really go out that much. I'm sure, like, if you go some, like, other places, I don't know, maybe, but not here. And don't worry about your voice. I mean, I live with this voice. This is the only voice I have, and might as well put a use to it, right? You guys seem to come every week and listen to my voice, don't mind, but you gotta work with what you have, and this is the only voice you have, so might as well use it, right? Well, I mean, you know what, thank you, appreciate your questions. What's next, Angel? Somebody asked, what do you think of the Wilmington residents, the community in all, not just the art and the music scene? The residents, I find them to be, like, humble people. The only thing is, they complain about the streets being dirty and being ghetto, but they don't do anything to fix it. For the most part, they still throw trash in the floor. They don't take pride in the city. They're always putting, like, their sofas and their fridges and all that stuff. The stuff that I don't want, they put it on the curb, and they I guess they're hoping that the trash people come and pick it up, but it doesn't work that way. They don't seem to know that there's a number you have to call for them to haul that stuff. Now, I do wish we had other resources, and people are always out here trying to fuck shit up and they always mess it up for everybody. The only thing we can do is hopefully influence them and show them that there's other ways to, you know, resolve problems without violence, you know, and without hurting innocent people. How do you remain so good-hearted and positive in all the chaos going on? Honestly, like, I stay in my lane. I worry about myself, the people that I care about. I try to help out as much as I can, but I figured you can't help everybody. Sometimes you can't, if people don't want to receive your help, you just can't force it on them. So I just stay to myself. I pretty much, I focus on the podcast. I keep my head down. I see who's out there. I listen. I don't really talk that much. To me, like, the less I talk, the less energy I exert. And, you know, sometimes it's just a waste of energy. Talking to people is like talking to the wall. They're just not going to listen to you. Sometimes they have to go through the shit that they're going through so they can learn. You know, that's the way I learn. Sometimes I make bad choices, and the only way for me to learn is by making them. How do you feel about the progress you've done with your podcast? Did you ever think you'll make it this far? Would you change anything about the way you run the podcast? Have you ever considered co-host? What's in store for the future? I'm really happy to tell the truth about the progress. I'm very happy. From not nobody knowing who I was, to not knowing what I was doing, how the equipment worked, to now I have kind of mastering it, being able to do this, being 50 episodes in. The beginning was so hard, like, when it came to getting people. Like, I'm very thankful for the people that gave me a chance. And for most of them, it was the first time ever getting interviewed. So I think it was a win-win situation. Like, I got to tell their story, and they got to practice, like, being interviewed. I learned a lot from the first episode to the episodes now. A lot of people have been telling me that I got better, and now they're listening to back to the podcast from the beginning. I do notice I'm more fluent. I'm able to come up with questions on the spot. I don't need to prepare that much, which I still do. I'm not ever not gonna prepare myself, but I don't have to rely on the questions that much. But, you know, I'm very happy with the podcast. You know, I mean there's still much more that I want to do. I want to, you know, go hit mainstream, be big. I want to get in one of those quote-unquote white podcast networks and make a difference, and still do what I'm doing. Bring independent people, bring people that are not known. I want to bring some of the people that are in the industry, because I feel those are gonna, the people that are gonna attract them. And then once they're here, they're gonna be like, okay, well, I like that interview, so let me see somebody else. And they might be able to give a chance to some of the independent people that are, the people are not that known. So hopefully that happens, you know. Like, I mean, but see, I need you guys' help. I can only record them, come up with the questions, and give you the product. What you guys have to do is share the product with the people, because I'm doing my part. I'm hustling. I'm over here working hard. But if nobody's listening and nobody's sharing, then it's just gonna stay there. And would I change anything about the way I run my podcast? I don't think so. I mean, I wish I had a studio. That way I don't have to be breaking my stuff in and, like, breaking it in, breaking it out, putting it back together. Like, I think that's, like, the right now, that's the hassle. That's the tedious part. But other than that, nah, not really. I do want to get a co-host sometimes. Maybe bring out some special co-hosts so they can help me interview somebody that are in the same industry they are. I'm thinking about doing that. It's hard, to tell you the truth. It's hard being on your own, but the benefit is that I can record whenever I want, and that's a good, because for example, this week I'm recording 4 episodes. So, you know, if I had a co-host, I would have to depend on their schedule too. So, and since I'm by myself, I could do it whenever I want. I could go to that place. I don't have to worry about my co-host meeting me there. But at the same time, it gets lonely, especially for the intro. Like, I ramble on a lot because I don't have anybody to reel me in. So when I had Jose, he'd be the one that tells me, all right, like, he'd be the one cutting me. He'd be the one telling me I was going too far. Like, I'm going too long. So, like, I wish that's the only aspect I have. Maybe I should bring out guests for that, just so they could record the intro with me. We'll see. We have another question. Have you ever broken a bone? I haven't broken any bones. Well, actually, yeah, both of my ankles. I broke both of them playing soccer. The first time I was going for the ball, jumped in the air, and my foot, like, my left foot was on the ground. So where I landed on the side and with all my weight on it. My other ankle, I was doing the marathon. There was like twigs and stuff on the floor, and I was focused on looking forward. I stepped on one, stepped on wrong, completely like destroyed my ankle. I think I broke it, but I didn't go to the doctor. My whole foot was purple, swollen. I think I considered that a broken leg. I don't really know. I think it was broken. I didn't go to the doctor, so I didn't find out. All right, we're gonna hit the rapid portion of the episode, right? So, quick questions, all right? What hobby would you get into if money wasn't an issue? I think I was into paintballing, so I'd probably go back into paintballing. I really enjoyed it because it's like shooting people, hunting people, but legally, and they don't die. You hurt them, and you could always get hurt. And it was a good, I don't know, it's a good way to relieve stress. I like to, like, run around. I'm a very active person. I'd rather be like playing soccer, playing a sport, than, you know, go to like a museum or something like that. I like museums. I like being visually stimulated, but at the same time, I like being active. I like to sweat. So yeah, I think paintballing. What's your favorite drink? Ooh, I think a Neapolitan shake from In-N-Out. I love those things. I love ice cream. That's something that you guys should know. I love ice cream. I eat ice cream a day, sometimes two, sometimes three, you know, maybe four, depending on how I feel. And I feel that that's my self-care. That's the way I self-care. Eating ice cream makes me happy. And even though a lot of people tell me that it's not good, diabetes, da 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 da, it makes me happy. So I'm gonna continue eating ice cream. I always have ice cream. My guests could attest. I always offer them ice cream because there's always, I have bars, I have sandwiches, I got cones. I don't even know. I got pretty much everything you want. I don't have ice. I got bars, but I have like cream, like ice cream, basically. Yeah. Who's your go-to band and artist when you can't decide something to listen to? Right now, it's the Arctic Monkeys. I'm really into instruments. I like the guitar, electric guitar, acoustic guitar, piano. But like, I like Kid Cudi also. He's a very, like, I don't know, it relaxes me. Inspires me sometimes. I think Kid Cudi, right now, Arctic Monkeys, most of the time. Kid Cudi though. Who has impressed you the most with what they accomplished? I think Trish Toledo. When she came on, she didn't have an album. She was like doing covers and performing at parties, and now she's doing really good. Like, really good. Like, that's an understatement. She has her own, she just brought out her own album. She's doing stadiums. No, not stadiums. She's doing like very big events. I think she was working with Baby Bash and MC Magic, so she's doing really well. Hopefully I have her on soon. I really don't want to repeat a guest until I hit that 100th episode. That's another goal of mine. I want to check up on some of the people that I've had on the podcast. See how they're doing. See what they're up to. I don't know. It'd be interesting, you know. What is the best way to start the day? I think going to the bathroom. Like, that's the best way. At least for me. What's something you can never finish? A book, man. I can't finish a book. I think the interview with Don David, where he asked me about if I was reading any books, and I was reading The Alchemist, and I haven't opened it since. I think that the interview was in December, November. No, it was like around October, because he brought out the Halloween song, and I still haven't opened the book. You know, I'm ashamed. I'm sorry, but you know, like, reading I can't focus. I'd rather get an audiobook than pretty much get up, you know, a book. What are you addicted to? I'm addicted to ice cream. Like I told you, like I eat a lot of ice cream. It makes me feel it makes me happy. Like it's cold and it's sweet. There's different kinds. You know, I love ice cream. That's my addiction, I guess. What's something you're self-conscious about? I think my weight, and I'm so hairy. Like I'm really hairy. So I think that's what I'm self-conscious. Like when I go to the beach, I wear a shirt. If I go to a pool, I wear one of those shirts. The water ones, though. The ones you can't use in the water, not just a regular tee. Yeah, and I don't know. I'm self-conscious about it. I used to shave, like, everything, my whole body. But, you know, I stopped. I kind of, like, you know, it looks like if you want to know a little bit insight, you know. It looks like I'm wearing a shirt after, like a fur. A shirt made out of fur when I take this. I don't know. Hopefully you guys don't envision that, but yeah, sadly, I guess my weight in. I have man boobs. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, I'm self-conscious about that. What small gestures from a stranger made a big impact on your life? I think just you guys pushing me, you guys supporting me, sending me messages. That that's the biggest help, because I do want to quit every single day. I ask myself if I'm even supposed to be doing this. Like, I don't have the best voice. I don't enunciate right. I talk way too fast. I slur. But you guys seem to come back every week, and you know, I mean if you guys keep coming, I'm gonna keep putting these out. So I mean, you guys just sending me like checking up on me, that means the world to me. What's something horrible that everyone should try at least once? I think everybody should try a glass of Kool-Aid with some Stale cookies. The sandwiches, like Stale as in they're soft. Like everybody should try those. Like I really like those, like because they're so soft. And then I've always liked those. What were some of the turning points in your life? So I think me almost shooting that guy was a turning point, because I was headed the wrong way. Almost shot this guy because he threw some cans at my mom, and I was already ready, loading everything, and my mom pulled the gun away from me. And so that was a turning point. Actually, my breakup with my ex, like that was a turning point. I was only focused on her. I spent all my money, all my time on her, and at the end, she didn't give a shit about it. She ended up cheating on me. So yeah, that was a turning point for sure. And then because of that, the podcast happened. I listened to podcasts, and then that led me to where I'm at now. So I think that was a big turning point for me. What is the hardest lesson you've ever learned? That you can't change people. That no matter how much you want them to be the way you want them, they have to want it. Which of your scars has the best story behind it? So I have a scar on the back of my head that I got when I was in first grade. I was playing Super Nintendo, and I didn't want to wake up my mom, so I decided to turn it on myself. So I got one of those chairs I use at the office, the ones that spin. And you know, I got to this level, and I couldn't pass that level. Like it was like this big ass like hill that I had to jump. Mario had to jump. And then, you know, I saw the chair. I would jump on the floor, and I was like, I couldn't do it. It wouldn't die. I was on my last life. So I was like, you know what? If I get on top of this chair, if I jump, then Mario's going to jump. So I got on top of the chair. I jumped. And when I landed, the chair spinned. Boom, I landed on the floor and opened up the back. Like the skin was flappy, blood everywhere. I mean, Mario died. So I got mad. Turned off the system, went back to bed, and my mom looks over onto me where the pillowcase is on, and she sees all the blood. She just had to feel like, oh my god. Luckily, when my aunt said, she's a nurse, so she happened to be around the area, and we went to the hospital, sewed me up, and yeah. But I think that has the best story. Alright, well, you know what? I think we're going to wrap it up. You know, I felt like the listener got a good idea of who you are. Hopefully, if they have more questions, they're able to send them in. Direct message me on Instagram, Facebook. Just look up Let Me Know Pod. Other than that, I think that's gonna be about it. So, you know, thank you for coming. Thank you for doing everything. Thank you for being yourself. So you know what, I'm just gonna let you guys go. But before I go, I just want to thank you for letting me be part of your day. All right, guys. Till next time, I'll see ya. Bye.
Cause right now that's the ball where we be chained. And if you're coming back to find me, you better have good aim. Shoot it true, I need you in the picture's why I'm calling. Yeah.